You guys. Hope everyone is doing well tonight. It's good to see everybody again. I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend. We did not meet last weekend, and I hope whatever you got into, whether that was camping or fishing or kayaking or sleeping, was enjoyable and rejuvenating for you and your family. Big congratulations to our kids and our youth and our parents as we kind of wrap up another school year. I know there's a couple kids that still have a couple days left this week, but I know we also had some graduations from kindergarten, graduations from high school, and everything in between, so it is officially summer. Can anybody else not believe it's June already? I'm actually pretty shocked, and it's June 5th, so it's like moving along so fast, so hope you guys have some good summer plans ahead. I don't know about you, but for me, when I think about summer, my mind just fills with all kinds of great memories from my childhood as well as my adulthood. For me, summer means a lot about getting outside, hiking, camping, exploring, doing fun things, vacations, road trips, all that kind of stuff. Years back, I remember there was a time when I had some good friends that came and visited myself and my wife, Courtney, and I decided I was going to take them caving. And so we went to this cave, and my wife, Courtney, is not really into creepy, crawly, dark spaces, so she stayed outside while I took my friends, Matt and Jeff, inside. And I don't recall whether we just had one headlamp or we just had pitiful headlamps, but we were very lacking in the light department. And isn't it like amazing how our eyes are designed? Isn't it amazing that you can be outside in the bright light or in a bright room and then all of a sudden the light gets turned off or you go into a cave and you can't see anything? And then eventually over time your eyes kind of adapt and all of a sudden you can start to pick things out because amazingly the light from no matter how distant it is finds a way to creep into the darkness. The opposite is true as well, right? You can be in a dark space and all of a sudden the light gets turned on and you're like, your eyes hurt. It's painful when you've been in the deep darkness to then be brought into the light. So hang on to that. Back to my caving story. It was interesting. We slithered into this small little opening and I'd been in this cave a time or two before, but there's lots of places to explore. So we went in and we decided to take a right and we ended up in this like narrow constriction and we're kind of working our way along. And again, we had pretty dim headlamps and all of a sudden we spook these bats and they come flying at us and we're screaming like six-year-old little girls in this cave. My wife continues to remind me of this, you know. And so this bat's, you know, and this one bat gets caught in between me and my friend Jeff and it just keeps flying back and forth and we're like, ah, ah, ah. And finally we think it disappears. And I turn around, and he goes, "It's on your back!" I literally still have, like, creepy, crawly feelings about this moment of this bat being latched onto my back. There's much more to the caving story that I'll save for another day. Well, guys, we've been working through the book of Ephesians, and here we are in chapter 5, and Paul brings in this analogy or this metaphor of light and darkness. He's talking to this young church and he tells them and he starts talking about light and about darkness. And he's not talking about a literal day and night experience. He's talking metaphorically about spiritual darkness and spiritual light and what they represent. If you think about light and darkness, it's a motif that has kind of been carried on for generations among all cultures, all religions, and light and darkness typically represents things like positive and negative, or good and evil, or truth and falsehood, or holiness and sin. And our focal passage tonight is going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 14. So we're going to start off by just kind of reading that whole section together. So if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to follow along. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the chairs in front of you, or you can follow along on the screen. But Ephesians is in the New Testament, in the latter part of the Bible, and it's a letter that was written by a guy named Paul to a young church in Ephesus. And here we are in chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 8 through 14. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Let's pray and we'll dive in. God, thanks for this evening. Thanks for the opportunity to dive into the scriptures together, to worship and declare that that is who you are, that you are the way maker. That even when we don't feel you working or see you working, that you are working. And that is so pertinent to what we're going to discuss tonight. So I pray that you would just illuminate and expand hope in each one of us tonight as we dive into the scriptures. Thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. So the last number of weeks, we've been diving into this theme that we've called seize the day, making the most of every opportunity. And it's kind of held in this chunk of scripture from kind of midway through chapter 4 and towards the latter part of chapter 5. And at the very beginning, Paul talks to this young church and he says, "I want you to put off the old self and I want you to put on the new self." So if you've been with us for the last number of weeks, we talked about all kinds of different topics. We talked about how we should put off the old self in regards to our speech. And we should adapt a new way of talking and communicating with one another as followers of Jesus. We talked about how that should alter the way that we respond in our anger. We spent some time talking about that 1 week. We talked about how we should stop taking, we should stop stealing, and instead we should start sharing and practicing generosity with one another. And that was in a variety of different ways, financially, with our gifts and our abilities and our talents and in our words as well, to be generous in our speech. We've talked about how we need to get rid of like an eye for eye and tooth for tooth mentality, specifically when it comes to getting rid of bitterness. When people wrong us and hurt us, that we would not hold that against them or say, "Well, you'll get yours. Oh, this is what I'll do because of what you did to me." Paul says, get rid of bitterness, but instead you should forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you, and that we should put on this new self of forgiveness. We've also touched on other sensitive topics like sexual immorality. How should living as a follower of Jesus affect our sexuality? Should it? In this passage we just read, Paul starts with this old, new self kind of paradigm, but he uses a different metaphor to describe it. There he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." I want us to park there for a minute. Does anybody here remember the difference between a simile and a metaphor? Some of us are literary people. We like words. We like writing. We like those kind of things. And similes and metaphors, I remember being in middle school and learning about these. And, you know, similes, both of these words are used to kind of draw a comparison. Similes are often include the words like as or like. I was laughing this week thinking about this, that we might remember the famous Forrest Gump quote, if you guys have seen that movie, where he says, "Mama always said that life is like a box of chocolates. You never know which one you're going to get." That's a simile. A metaphor, however, is a direct comparison. And I want you to notice here that Paul doesn't say, "For you were like darkness." He doesn't use a simile and say, "For you were like darkness." He uses a metaphor. He says that you were darkness. Guys, this is an identity statement. If you've been with us through the book of Ephesians or you've read it before, over and over and over again, Paul brings up this reality where he says, "Hey guys, remember who you were and remember who you've become." And once again here in chapter 5, he says that you need to remember who you were because you were once darkness. Paul wants to remind them that once they were living in spiritual darkness. And that means that they were separated from the life that is found in God, that God is the source of all life and light and love. And darkness means that you were separated from that and you were cut off from it. If you flip back a page, you'll look in chapter 2, and Paul addresses this. As I mentioned, he kind of talks about this a couple different times. And in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." If you were with us many weeks ago when we looked at this passage, you might have remembered I was the one that spoke that night, and I talked about how dead means dead. Dead means unable to resuscitate itself. This is the condition that we were all born into. Elsewhere in Romans 3:23, maybe you're familiar with it, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's the level playing field that everyone on this planet who identifies as a human falls under. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So for everyone in this room or listening online, it's extremely critical for us to recognize that we were darkness. Or maybe you still are darkness. I was talking with someone the other day about this, is this question of, are we inherently good or are we inherently evil? Or in this language, are we inherently darkness or are we inherently light? Now, it's my view based on my understanding of the scriptures and my own personal personal experience in life is that I was born into the world with a sin nature. Particularly as I became a parent, I did not have to teach one of my kids to learn how to sin. I did not have to teach one of my kids to learn how to be disobedient, to be dishonest. I still don't have to teach them that. It comes very, very, very naturally. Now, it's important to note that Paul isn't trying to push the Ephesian church down. Instead, he's trying to lift them up. He wants to say, look at what you were and look at what you are now. Because we were made for so much more. I've shared this quote several times before, but I think it is so important and so fitting that we cannot consistently live in a way that is inconsistent with the way that we view ourselves. Because we live as a reflection of our identity. That's why this statement that he makes is so critical, it's so important. He says, you were once darkness, not like darkness. And he says, you are light, not like light. Same principle. Check out what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Maybe you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So as I mentioned, this is a key identity statement that he wants the Ephesian church and wants us to understand, is that we were once darkness, but now we are light. And then from here, if you look in Ephesians 5, he moves on to an action statement. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. He says, live as children of light. I'd like to spend the bulk of my message tonight actually talking about what does it look like for us to walk in the light when we're surrounded by darkness? What does it look like for every one of us to walk in the light when we're surrounded by darkness? You see, even though we once were darkness and now we're light, we still are surrounded by darkness. Not only are we surrounded by it, we battle it. We experience it. I mean, who here today like acknowledges that they're in battling some darkness in their life? I do, for sure, particularly as I thought about it this week. So tonight I'd like to go through 8 different types of darkness that we can experience as children of light, and I'd like to share just briefly some of the tools that God gives us to walk in the light, even in the darkness that we battle. Obviously, with eight, I can't go very deep, so we're going to blitz through some of them, spend a little bit more time with others, and you'll notice that I'll spend more time at the beginning, and then it'll go a little bit faster. So the first type of darkness that we can experience, and if you're a note taker, you might want to write these things down so you can reflect on them more. I would really encourage you as I go through these, if you want to make a mental or physical note, check mark next to these. I would encourage you to dive deeper into whatever darkness it is that you're battling, to dive into the scriptures, dive into prayer, and also invite others to come into that with you. Because here's a key truth. I mentioned about my caving story before. It's a lot easier to go into a deep, dark, slimy cave filled with bats and creepy, crawly things when you're with a couple good buddies, right? And when you have a good, strong light source. That's such a key truth that we need to invite people into the darkness of our lives to help lead us into the light. So the first type of darkness that we can experience and do experience often is physiological darkness. Guys, here's the truth. Pain and degeneration were not part of God's original plan. It wasn't part of his creative plan that we would experience pain and degeneration. You see, death and decay and hardship weren't part of his plan, but it's our reality that in our life that our bodies are destined to die. They're destined to die, and the process from birth to death physically can be filled with a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, a lot of disease, and a lot of illness. Guys, in this room, we have a huge amount of dysfunctional bodies. Can I get an amen? In this room alone, we carry a pretty massive weight of dysfunction in our bodies. Some of us battle with eyesight. Some of us battle with our hearing. We've got dysfunctional knees, hips, backs, necks, everything in between. Some of us have GI dysfunctions. Some of us have autoimmune diseases. Some of us have plantar fasciitis. We have a variety of dysfunctions that we battle, and the list could go on. The problem with this is that sometimes these battles get the best of our spirit, not just our bodies, right? The body part sucks. The pain's not fun. But the harder part is when the weight of the physiological darkness starts to overcome our spirit. We get discouraged. We get frustrated. We get depressed that we can't function the way that we think that our bodies should be able to function. Guys, Paul encourages us to live as children of light in our physiological darkness. I want to read for you 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I wanted to read a lot of stuff, but I don't have enough time to. But 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." If you're battling physiological darkness, I would really encourage you to reread that passage, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, but keep going into chapter 5, because it talks about how we groan to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Guys, the way that we bring light into our physiological bodies is to remember that this isn't the way that it always will be forever. That God has designed and promised us an eternal dwelling that will not decay. That there is a time when pain will be no more. And I know, sometimes the pain of the pain seems so unbearable. It seems like it's never ending. But in the grand scheme of eternity, this too shall pass one day, and we will all be renewed. That's a hope to cling to, and that's how we walk in the light in the midst of physiological darkness. Second form of darkness that we encounter is mental darkness. Guys, unfortunately, this is a darkness that is multiplying and expanding exponentially day by day by day. I don't need to show you stats about that because you know it. You experience it, you hear it, you see it. Why is it that our society has advanced so much in comfort, in amenities, yet our mental health is deteriorating at a rate as fast or faster than our advancements? Why is that? That 200 years ago, when we didn't all have all the glit and glamour that we do today, that mental health was way better. Interesting, huh? I have a couple thoughts. First thought is more is not better. More is not better. We live in an age where more stuff, more responsibilities, more access, more exposure, more expectations than we ever have before. My heart can't handle knowing about Ukraine and Afghanistan and what's happening in Washington and what's happening in Canada. Like, I don't have the space in my heart to carry the weight of all that we are exposed to every day through the internet. More is not better. We've complicated our lives so much. And because of that, I think we've decreased rather than increased our quality of life. We think more is going to advance and increase our quality of life, but oftentimes it decreases it. More is not better. Number two, we've caffeinated our way out of balance. I drank 2 cups of coffee tonight. I love coffee, and I drink too much, to be honest, and I need to change it. For 13 and a half years, I've been a parent, and I have consumed way too much coffee to stay alive. But the problem is that we've caffeinated our way out of balance and we've overrided our body's natural system that says, hey, I need rest. I need rhythm. I need balance. We don't need another cup of coffee or another case of Red Bull. We actually need more balance in our life. But the more I talked about, we've got to have this substance to fuel the more that we're pursuing. We've caffeinated our way out of balance. That's why mental health is decreased. Number three, buffering has eroded our character. Faster, faster, faster is the mantra of today. How many people get impatient when a video won't load fast enough, so you just deem it not worth it? Or if in 10 seconds, if it doesn't capture your attention enough, it's like, I'm not going to watch that. It's not worth my time. Even today, most of our videos like create these segments so you can jump right to, well, I looked up a recipe for smoked salmon today. It was like, jump to the recipe. I'm like, no, I don't want to look at all those advertisement and the person's story about their kitchen. I just want to know how to cook smoked salmon. You know, come on, let's go. But buffering has eroded our character because it's short-circuited things like patience and healthy expectations because we want it and we want it now and we think we should be able to get it now. Finally, the huge contributor to our mental darkness is comparison. Guys, comparison kills. It would take a 0.2-second search on Google to realize that social media is not enhancing our life. It's actually destroying it. It's great that Facebook has this ambition to connect every human across the globe. And that's fun. It's great that I get to see friends that I knew in high school and what they're doing and stuff like that. But the double-edged sword of that is that I'm constantly exposed to what I don't have. I'm exposed to what I don't look like. I'm exposed to the skills that I don't possess or the fruit that I don't have that someone else has. Exposing ourselves to these messages again and again and again is rotting our souls. So mental health is on the decline. But guys, Paul says, live as children of light. You might be in mental darkness right now, but I want to tell you, Paul says, live as children of light. And he's given us some tools to be able to do that. Maybe you're familiar with this from 2 Corinthians 10. It says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Elsewhere in Philippians 4, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Colossians 3 talks about how we should set our minds on things above, not on earthly things, how we should set our hearts on things above in the heavenly realms. Because if we want to battle mental darkness, we need to set our minds on the hope and the truth of heaven. We've got to do that, and we've got to fight for it. So if you want to climb out of the cave of mental darkness, you got to start focusing on your thoughts. I'll preach that every week, every day, all day, because it's so true. The reality is that our thoughts, they shape our beliefs, which then affect our actions. Our thoughts form our beliefs, which shape our actions. That's the sequence. Whatever it is that you're thinking on a regular basis is shaping and forming your belief structure, which then will affect your actions. It's the way it works. It's the way we're designed. It's the way God designed us. So if you want to climb out of the cave of mental darkness, start focusing on your thoughts. I do also want to say that sometimes we need a good doctor. I don't want to deny the fact that sometimes we have imbalances and we need medicine. We don't want to abuse it, but sometimes we need that. And having a good counselor and a set of good friends makes a huge difference too. So it's not just I got to start thinking the right way. That's a big part of it, because you're with yourself every day, all day, right? And the thoughts and the ideas you entertain in your mind are shaping you. Number three, relational darkness. This can come in the form of strained relationships, or it can come in the form of loneliness. Guys, some of us have tense family relationships. Living in relationship with our families is kind of like walking through a minefield, is what it may feel like, or a Spartan race. You're having to crawl under barbed wire or jump through a hoop of fire or walk through wet, cold mud. For others of us, we work with a temperamental boss. Or maybe our coworker is a drama queen or a drama king. And don't get me started about my neighbor. You know, this past weekend, we were camping with a bunch of families, and I heard two or three different neighbor stories about fences that were really heated. Paul says, live as children of light. The Bible instructs us to get rid of bitterness. We talked about that at the beginning. That's how we live as children of light in relational darkness, as we get rid of bitterness. Don't allow it to have a foothold in your life, because it will rot you from the inside out. With that, the way you get rid of bitterness is you forgive one another as the Lord forgave you. Take initiative in that, whether you're the one at fault or whether you're the one that was wounded by someone. Take the initiative to forgive. Number three, choose your community wisely. We read here in Ephesians 5 to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. I want to tell you today that if your primary community is with people who are darkness or who are walking in darkness, guess what? It's not helping you to live as a child of the light. Are we supposed to be friends with people and to be a light in dark places? Absolutely. But I love the statistic that you will become the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. So choose your friends wisely. Proverbs says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. That's Proverbs 13:20. The last thing we need to do to live as children of the light and relational darkness is we need to seek, invest in, and develop relationships. Guys, I'm not going to touch too deeply on the darkness of loneliness. I know many of us experience that and struggle with that at times. But I will tell you that I've known a lot of people that struggle with loneliness who don't take advantage of the opportunities they have to connect in friendship. All of us know that relationships take time and energy. And shared experience is one of the best avenues for forming friendships and relationships. But it takes time and effort. And people might not take that time and initiate it with you, but you can initiate it with them. You can be an initiator of friendships. Number four form of darkness is spiritual darkness. We're going to dive into this more when we get into Ephesians chapter 6, because Paul spends an extensive amount of time talking about the spiritual battle that we face and the specific tools that we have to be able to fight. He says specifically that our battle is not against the physical, but it's against the spiritual powers. Some of us in this room live keenly aware of the spiritual battle that we're in every day. Some of us are just wired that way, that we're just in tune with the forces that are kind of around us. But I would venture to say that probably the majority of us kind of forget about that. We battle sickness, we battle, you know, mental thoughts, we battle relationships, but the idea of there being kind of a spiritual realm that's seeking to destroy us, to attack us, to divide us, to derail us, all of those things sometimes falls off our radars and we don't remember it. Paul says, live as children of light. In 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, Peter says, be alert and sober and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. A couple key words in that verse right there that I want to draw attention to is to be alert. That's that idea that if that's not on your radar, you need to be alert because those forces are out to get you. The second one that I've been reflecting on the last two or three weeks in my own life is the resist him aspect. You can be alert, but then just be submissive, right? Like, I'm alert, but come on, bring it on, you know? And not resist the force that is seeking to bring you down. Number five is emotional darkness. Emotional darkness is kind of connected to mental darkness, but it's a little bit different. It's unique in its own. Emotional darkness can come in the form of just overwhelming grief. It comes in the form of just a deep sadness. Or maybe in the form of an overwhelming anxiety. It can be in the form of just feeling like you're drowning in discouragement. Or maybe frustration. Or maybe worry, or maybe anger. You guys, the problem with this is that this darkness, it seeks to just drag us down to a place of despair. And when we get drugged down to the place of despair, that's a dangerous place to be, because then we just give up. We say it's not worth the fight. So once again, Paul says, live as children of light. I've always loved Psalm 42. There's a principle in Psalm 42 that I love that's called preaching to yourself. And twice in Psalm 42, the psalmist, I just love the way he does this. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And then he preaches to himself. He says, put your hope in God, soul. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Have you ever thought about that all the emotions that I just described, grief, frustration, anger, worry, anxiety, sadness, all of those things seem to rush in and expand when our hope wanes. When our hope starts to get diminished, that's when those feelings, grief, sadness, anxiety, frustration, discouragement. When our hope that something can change dies, that's when those grow. That's why it's so important that we fight for hope, and it's why the Bible is filled with so many different scriptures about hope. It's why in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it's such an often quoted verse where it talks about how we will soar like wings like eagles. Guys, we're incredibly privileged to live in Montana where we see eagles pretty often. About a month ago, I was driving down Reserve Street by Winco, and I'm like, there's an eagle. Like, that doesn't belong around here, you know? But man, like, we get the opportunity to see these things. So, gosh, would it be awesome if we just linked the scripture there and we remembered, oh, like, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That when we see an eagle, we would be reminded to put our hope in God. Number six is moral darkness. Moral darkness is when we've willfully submitted to sin in our life. The Bible calls this giving the devil a foothold. Most of us don't get here in an isolated instance. It's oftentimes a slow downward progression that we get into a place of moral darkness. It's where we kind of give in a little bit here, and then all of a sudden we're here, and the next thing we know we're over here, and then we're here. We would never jump from there to here in sin and in moral darkness. You maybe think of David, for instance, right? You know, the classic story of David. I promise you, David didn't wake up that morning and say, I think I'm going to be lazy today, and then I'm going to find me a woman on another rooftop, and then I'm going to ask her to come to my house, and then I'm going to sleep with her, and then I'm going to get her pregnant, and then I'm going to try to kill her husband to cover it all up. He didn't wake up that day thinking that that's what he was going to do, but one by one by one, the moral creep happened. Paul says, live as children of the light. Guys, if we want to live as children of the light, we've got to bring our sin into the light. And this is why James says in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Seventh form of darkness is cultural darkness. Guys, cultural darkness is when we're living or working in an environment that is bound in darkness. It's when you're the minority rather than the majority. It's when the systems and the culture and the values of whatever environment that is in opposition and isolation to the ways of God. Paul says, live as children of the light. Cultural darkness, maybe for some of us, we might think of a story in the Bible like Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is an example of just lavish evil. But I really don't want your mind to go there, because oftentimes we don't find ourselves in these places of cultural darkness where it's just all out debauchery. Here's an important truth, is that darkness can also be cloaked in sheepskin. Cultural darkness can have a facade of good, of kind, of loving, but at its root, it's evil. The beauty of cultural darkness is that the light really stands out. If you're in a place of cultural darkness, and Missoula in some ways we could say that's that, if we live as children of the light, then it shows up. The difficulty of cultural darkness is that it is very visible, and it can be intimidating. It can be uncomfortable. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Guys, the last and final form of darkness that I want to share with you tonight is trauma. I use this word with a very heavy and empathetic heart. Trauma is a word that covers a broad spectrum of situations, experiences, hardships. Some of them at their root are just so blatantly evil and filled with darkness. And some of us have been the victims of some very evil trauma. Some of us, life has happened to us, or some circumstance we were in, a major car accident or something, and it put us in a place of darkness, or someone we love, it put them in a place of darkness. And I really want everybody to hear me very clearly on this, that trauma darkness is not a darkness that can just be turned off and on like a light switch. Trauma affects us for a lifetime. But what I do want to tell you is that we don't need or want to completely surrender to trauma and to let it continue to be the captain of our life for the rest of our life. We need resources, we need support, we need wisdom, we need grace, we need empathy in navigating our trauma, but we can't give it the keys to our life. Paul says, live as children of light. Friends, I've run out of time, but there's so much more I could say about all of these areas. But as I said at the beginning, I really wanted to just kind of paint this picture. I mean, Paul starts with this, makes this amazing statement, identity statement, that you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And it would be inappropriate for me to tell you that as children of the light that you will no longer encounter darkness. Because all of us experience it. As I went through the list, some of you might have been like, check, 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 check. Check them all, Chris. If you aren't battling any of these areas in your life right now, praise God. Literally praise Him. Thank Him that you are experiencing fullness of light in your life right now. But I promise you that people around you are battling them, and you could be a source of encouragement and strength. If you're with us today and you've checked some of these, I really want you to be encouraged, not to be discouraged. The point of all of these is that we can live in darkness, but we can also be exhorted to live as children of light, and that God provides us tools and resources to battle the darkness. I described a little bit ago of what happens when you get drugged down to the point of despair where you just give up. I hope that if you've been there in one of these areas, that maybe your hand just reaches out a little bit more, that you would realize that there is hope for you, and that when you put your hope in the Lord, that He renews your strength. Worship team, you guys can come on up. I'd like to close with one last statement from Jesus in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 18, this is one of the seven I am statements of Jesus in the book of John. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Never walk in darkness because the light of Christ shines within us. Like my analogy of going into the cave and having a headlamp, that we, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life, we have the light to walk through the darkness with. If you placed your faith in Jesus, then God has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that's a powerful thing. If you've yet to do that, I want to encourage you to do that tonight. That you could go from being darkness to that being part of your past history and your past story. And you can become a child of the light today. And that's as simply as, God, like, I need you. I fall in that category of all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that the entire world, I fall under that. And it's only through Jesus that I can receive forgiveness and light for tomorrow. Guys, if you've been walking in darkness in any of those areas, one of the beauties of the gospel is that we get the opportunity to start fresh and to start new. So as we wrap up tonight, I just want to encourage you to take a minute to just pray, and whatever of those forms of darkness that have been overwhelming you, just say, God, I need your strength for this. Help me to give it to you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this passage. God, I pray for my friends here tonight that whatever form of darkness it is that they're battling, and I know that it's broad and vast and the different challenges that each of us are walking through, and I pray for your strength. I pray for your light. I pray for your hope to be renewed within us, to cling to your promises, to cling to your Son, and even to have the courage to reach out and ask for help. I pray that you would resource each one of us with a community that could help us to find victory in the darknesses of our life. I pray that we would obey your word when it comes to things like taking captive those thoughts and bringing them into submission to Christ. We thank you for your love that covers all of this and that it invites us into a journey with you, into your light, into your love, into your peace. And we thank you for the promises that one day all of this will pass and will be renewed. In Jesus' name, amen.